Hey, y'all. You're listening to Spiritual Freedom Podcast, and I'm your host, Susie. I'm glad you made it. So this is a safe space where we get to talk about anything and everything spiritual and metaphysical, but we're going to talk about it without the judgment, without the fear or religious guilt, and without losing any credibility. So let's open our hearts and our minds, and let's talk about the weird without being weird about it. On today's episode, I'm going to talk about soul origins and soul contracts. And with soul contracts, I'm talking about agreements that we make as souls, up in heaven, or whatever you call the time and space with source energy. And we were making agreements with other souls to be certain influences in our lives when we decide to incarnate. And the types of agreements that we can make with other people would be like karmic partners, divine partner, twin flame, a vertex person. And I'm also going to talk about the concepts of soulmates and soul family. So I hope this discussion brings you healing and maybe a new perspective on some of these terms, which can be honestly pretty triggering. So just take what resonates, you guys, and I hope it helps. Thanks for listening, y'all. And for my podcast platform listeners, I just wanted to remind you that I do a YouTube recording and I use that audio for this platform as well. So if I speak about anything visual, you know, I apologize. I'm trying to be in both worlds and thanks for tolerating it. Hey y'all. So right now I'm going to talk about soul origins first. It's just a cool concept to kind of ponder. To me, I just more appreciate it gave me a way to evaluate my own energy. I can appreciate my own energy. I can kind of now see commonality with other people in my life and kind of try to, it's just a fun exercise to kind of be aware of this and kind of start catching it and like, oh, that's kind of beautiful. So let me get into it. So soul origins, just as this, you know, analysis process of looking at and deciding based on your kind of energy as a person, as a soul experiencing this world right now, like, what do you think your energy is? Do you think your first experience splitting from source energy was here on Earth, being an Earth seed? Or do you even think maybe your first experience as a soul in general could have happened first, like some other planet? And that's what we call a star seed in the metaphysical community. This concept I never knew until I started going into the metaphysical, you know, spirituality kind of things, reading books like by Dolores Cannon, and another one that I'm totally forgetting his name about. I'll figure it out and I'll put it in show notes. But basically, I always thought growing up with, you know, Christian beliefs that my soul was here on Earth because of the whole, like, you know, story was so strong with me. Like, this is here. Like, maybe I had many lives, but it was all here on Earth. And then as I kind of like opened up to metaphysical topics, I started reading books, like I said, by Dolores Cannon, and there's some others I'll put in show notes. They opened up to this belief that your soul actually could have had its first experience on a planet other than Earth, of being a starseed. Now, there's a million bazillion planets out there. We're, you know, we have like maybe if you search on Google, like a few dozen like certain planet systems that they kind of group certain characteristics with, which you may or may not totally align with. For me, I wasn't like, oh yeah, check marks all the way here. I am a Andromedan. I'm like, no, I was like here, there, and everywhere on everything. So to me, my source planet, which I do consider myself a starseed, would be a different planet. And that's okay. And I just chill out not knowing. It's okay. I don't know. I just like the fact that I kind of looked at it and it's neat to kind of see some things that maybe I see in other friends in my life where I'm like, oh, this is a beautiful trait within that planet. I wonder if that was them. It's just for my own, like, kind of just appreciating other people's energy. So, and I have personally a lot of Earthseed friends, I think, and they're lovely and they're very grounding people to be around. They're like, they got that Mama Earth vibe. Like, their first, and this is male or female, like their first inclination is just to like, what are the environment impacts of like my existence, my decisions, my life, like so deeply felt, about animals, plants, like environmental impact stuff. So that is like, to me, a big sign of like, you must really feel like this is your home. Cause this, I mean, they feel it so strongly. They're like, I must protect it. I'm going to go through, going to make my job something that has to align with protecting the earth or something like that. Like that's, to me, my Earthseed friends. Starseeds, I guess, you know, I've always felt a little off with society. I think anybody metaphysical typically feels a little like mainstream society is a little odd, like we don't fit. So our Earth experience can kind of feel like we don't fit in general just because of that, but it's something more. And I never really realized it. For me, my belief of being a starseed comes from a random childhood memory. And it's largely my first time at a planetarium. I was probably about 10 in the LA area. And like, I went to planetarium, they had that domed like theater above my head. And I remember looking up and being like, the stars are just beautiful. Of course, like that's awe inspiring, but it was more than that. My first little thought as I looked up there was, oh, that's where home is. And y'all, I was not contemplating that I didn't belong on Earth. Like that was not even in my consciousness. But my first thought that came to me was, that's where home is. And, you know, which one is it? Where am I? You know, and I remember looking and trying to feel like a connection and being like, whoa, I'm being weird, and then getting out of it. And that was my memory. And so based on that, I just rest my intuition and give it credit. And that's, so I feel like I am a starseed. I mean, that plus the fact that I've always been a little nonconformist and a little weird with society. So I'm kind of like, that makes sense. Earth doesn't feel quite like my home, although I love it. I love camping. I appreciate sunsets, you know, stargazing, all that stuff. I'm just not quite an Earthseed. And I think I know that. But, you know, props to you Earthseeds out there. I mention this because you can have an energetic imprint by this first experience on whatever dimension planet you had your first soul experience with. And so that template kind of gets in us, and we can recognize that with other people, you know, and where it's either, I think it strongly shows up in either like a common, you know, going for certain causes kind of vibe, like this is my heart and soul in terms of going for certain causes or careers or hobbies and entertainment. Like you like the same kind of movies and books or humor. You're cracking the same jokes, you're listening to the same, you know, that kind of stuff, that kind of like familiarity with people, which almost feels like a past life familiarity, to be honest. But we kind of gravitate toward each other. You at least probably have one or two from your planet, I think, in your environment. It's just maybe you haven't realized it, that, oh yeah, we do have quite a lot in common. This could just be like a random extended friend that you're like, oh yeah, that is a really comfortable person to be around. So for, you know, shits and grins, this is a kind of a fun thing to look at and just to Google and to search and just feel out and see if you have any memories when you were a kid about, you know, searching the sky for home, or maybe you loved sci-fi, a certain sci-fi book series, and was like, wow, there's something about this like space experience that's like more than just enjoyment. Like this is a calling toward, like this isn't home as much. So anyway, think about that. Now, the other thing I wanted to talk about was soul contracts. And this concept largely, I mean, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and say it. Like, it largely assumes that you believe in reincarnation to some extent. For myself, reincarnation, even when I was a kid, I remember thinking when people, like, when I was told, like, people die and they go to heaven, and that's it. They don't come back down. No. I mean, sorry, that was kind of my environment where I was raised, at least to my best of my memory. But I knew as a kid that didn't sound fair and it didn't sound right. It didn't just never settled right with my heart. So when I grew up, I kind of always had maintained this reincarnation belief. Like I was a secret believer in reincarnation, even when I was going to certain churches and, you know, as a young adult. I just wouldn't share that with many people because I thought it might be seen as weird because it's not in the Bible. Anyway, I grew through all that stuff. Now I'm a definite reincarnation believer, and I'm spiritualist, non-dogmatic. Don't associate myself really or label myself as a Christian anymore. But so soul contracts, let's also assume that time is linear in this discussion. So that meaning, Like, really and truly, without going into it too much, I think time is a man-made construction. Einstein talked about this. I know enough to be dangerous about what Einstein said about it, but it got my wheels turning about time. So even when I sit here in this experience with you guys, and I'm recording this and saying this, I believe that if I have, like, my soul can splinter several times. Like, I feel like there might be a splinter of Susie that's not Susie, but some other person having an experience either here, Earth, or elsewhere, you know, having at the same time. And those energies can kind of affect me in this lifetime. And I have to be grounded and kind of know my own energy so I know when it might be that and I need to send it love and light and healing, or when it's my energy. Now, granted, I'm not, you know, and this, I think that we aren't interrupted unless it's a real catastrophic kind of thing, or unless we're kind of dealing with similar lessons from that lifetime to this lifetime. But I don't know enough to, like, really totally finish that argument. But that's just something I'm going to just throw out there as, like, as a little stray belief here in this, but that I'm kind of personally kind of chewing through, deciding about. But for this discussion, let's just assume that it's, you know, we're with Source. We decide to go have a life experience and bring our soul little bungee line into this experience right now. And then when I'm done, I go back up there. And then before I go back down again, like, I have some time up there and then go come back again for another life. So if we kind of believe in that kind of sequence, those moments where we have pit stops up, and I keep pointing up to my left, when we have pit stops up in heaven, or the other dimensions, spirit, whatever you want to call hanging out with Source energy, that space. I believe that we have, as in that moment, as energy with Source and being healed, we can kind of look at what experiences we've had so far, and to make plans about the next experience. So up there before this Earth of Susie being in this meat suit, I was up there and I made decisions on who was going to be my love interests, who was going to be my life partners, who were going to be my friends, who were going to be my frenemies, who were going to be my family members, all that stuff. And can you imagine the administrative, like, headache that would be and the coordination? Because I believe personally, y'all can just, you know, take what resonates for yourself, that we are through this experience literally just trying to learn soul lessons, okay? And we make these decisions as souls up there. And when we're in soul capacity, we are not in human capacity, where I think, boy, if I got fired from a job, that really fucking suck. It'd really fucking suck if I had to file for bankruptcy in my life. It'd really fucking suck if blah, blah, blah. Up as souls, we'd be looking at these experiences like, wow, look at that rebirth this person is going to feel. You want to, I think having this rebirth experience after losing a job or filing bankruptcy or a medical crisis or whatever, like, the empowerment energy that comes from it, the healing energy, this connection point to God that happens when we're in crisis mode is so worth the experience of the human pain, because you're achieving this soul goal. And so we're in groups of souls trying to do certain soul goals together. Now, granted, we have varying, you know, experiences within that soul group. Some people who just started on the lessons, some who are about to finish. And so we're with each other, hanging out for these experiences, trying to move up and spread more love, spread more peace, you know, go to the next, you know, issue, help find the, you know, get to the end, not the end, the resolution or the learning of that next soul goal. And we lovingly experience this together, which in what I call a soul family. And then I could really truly think it's the best, highest vibe perspective to think of everyone that I encounter in my life experience right now as a soulmate. And that it is not just a romantic concept. It is more of a, you have been in my soul group. I'm running into you for a reason in this experience right now. Like, you're in that big old meeting and we figured out what you were going to be. And you might be just barely there for a second, just passing on the street, had a nice moment talking to you in the store. But there's an energy exchange in everything, guys. I really feel like there's very few things that are not planned by the universe, to be honest. Yes, we have free will. It takes a lot of free will to, I think, fight what is kind of in our plan, but that's just a separate little argument too, or perspective that you don't have to take either. You can just say we have tons of free will everywhere. But I'm telling you, I've had weird shit happen from things that I didn't think I was even doing anything. And like I run into something and it just is this beautiful completion or synchronistic moment that I'm like, I kind of leave those moments thinking, is anything free will? Because that had to happen with all these weird steps that led to it. And then I met this person and we had this beautiful like soul moment of like sharing or giving each other love in like a just a social way. But it's just like the stuff that had to happen. Anyway, I'm kind of going off a little bit on the synchronicity. Good Lord, I can't say it. Synchronistic kind of nature of source in our lives. But my belief is that we have our soul family. And I think the high vibe perspective is to always see someone as a potential, as a soulmate. Whether or not they show up in that energy is what we hope. If they don't, then we have spiritual discernment to treat them accordingly and have our rules and our boundaries and being like, outie. Okay, so that's, but I still feel like it's still the best and highest vibe because it gets us into like this divine oneness feel of being together. Okay, I'm sorry for the change real quick in the, or interruption in the audible and video platform. Just life interrupts. I do this podcast from home. But getting back to the soulmate concept, I did want to say, or reemphasize, like this isn't always a romantic thing. These are just lovely connections because we're all in this like soul lesson, like all your family, all the people you know from work, like all the people you knew from school. It's this kind of broader concept of like, of being in this group, almost like being in common people who live in the same city that you run into, right? And it's that feeling of like 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon where you're going to run into some of the same people. If you get that kind of feeling, it's like a little bit of your soul group. And like I said, it's always highest vibe to see everybody anyway as like a soulmate, like treat them like that. And then just trust your divine discernment. But like soulmates aren't always romantic, but the ones that have to, we have longer agreements that we made upstairs with, you know, before we splintered from source again and come down here for another life experience. We make these agreements up there. And when we say yes to each other, we typically create an energetic bond that's spiritual. That's recognize me, we made an agreement. You have to follow up on this, that kind of like connection. And sometimes for the romantic stuff, it does come with like a physical zing, like a holy shit, I'm just super attracted to you, that kind of thing. The friendships are just more of like, I've got to follow up on this person and hang out with them. I really like them. Like I want them in my energy, like to hang out. But so basically we make those little energetic contract agreements. And then we come down here to kind of like, do the work, see how we do, how we heal, hopefully. And my biggest point here about the zing, about these little pulls, especially the romantic zings, is that we often repress and feel guilty about having those zings. And I feel like we shouldn't. I feel like it's there for a reason. If you just kind of like chill your view on like moments of attraction, like we have, if you guys are raised in the Christian household or history, you're going to think like, just because I have attraction to someone and I'm already in an established relationship, I'm doing some sort of horrible spiritual thing. And that's complete bullshit. I think the energetic markers are there for a reason that we contracted for, that we're here to honor and recognize. And honor meaning like, don't feel bad, but look at it. Like, don't repress it and think, I'm married, I shouldn't think about this relationship. Just be like, no, the purpose of an attraction with someone is so that we look at them and their energy and think, what is in their energy or their soul or their life work, whatever it is, that my soul is like, look at this. Do you see what they are doing? This is what I want you to do or incorporate some element of, whether or not it's the fact that they're so, you know, physically, their vitality is just really strong and you need to get into your health more. It could be the fact that they're just super creative and they're open about their artistic expression, that they're just authentic and they're honest and they're like so vulnerable about their emotional state and they'll be honest with them about real life. Like, you know, there's something about these people that kind of pop in and that are like zinging you and they zing you for a reason and you're not a bad person for like feeling it and looking at it. You're not. I want to like get a Sharpie marker and be like on the Bible and be like, that is such bullshit to feel bad because we're thinking about why are we attracted to someone. And that's the thing. It doesn't quite say that in the Bible. If you guys have a Christian hang up, which I kind of did in my past, but you get the impression that any sort of attraction that happens when you're already within a relationship is like horrible and wrong. And that's not true. The thing is, do we see it as our own medicine or do we give our power away to that person and think, oh, I'm attracted to them. Something must happen. Like something has to happen on the 3D level. Like I've got to see if they're interested. Like that's where we make mistakes. Okay. Because this is all supposed to be an inner reflection. And that happens even with soulmates. The thing is, that can be very strong with, here are the triggery terms of twin flame or a vertex person, or karmic partner. The thing is, karmic partners don't always look karmic when they come in our lives. I almost also want to take a little pause here and say, I'm not a big fan of labels. I think we are all growing beings that have good times and bad times. We can evolve and devolve, y'all. I have myself, I'm sure, been karmic. Yes, I'm sure. Toward other people in my life and my past, which, you know, I've got to grapple and deal with energetically myself. Like we have the ability of being both soulmates and karmic people within our relationships to other, you know, various friends and romantic interests. Okay. These are shades within us, within all of us. And I don't care how spiritually evolved you are, this is possible. And this is possible throughout your entire life. And it's just being conscious of it and being like, if it happens, I'm going to like correct my behavior. I don't want to be in a karmic pattern. And karmic patterns just mean like, I'm doing something from my wounding that's low vibe and that's either hurting myself or others. And it's typically like all self. Like these are the stories that we tell ourselves. Like we look at an interaction and maybe someone said, I can't hang out today. I gotta, you know, we'll have to do it another time. And the way that I receive it is like, this person, this isn't my friend. They're trying to push me away. You know, I'm too annoying. I'm too much for people. You know, we can be our own worst karmic partners. So when I kind of talk about these terms, a lot of, you know, I don't try to see any one person as they're a karmic person in my life. I can say that they are enough of in a karmic pattern or I need to get away from them right now, but they're all lovely soulmates that I need to kind of send love and healing to. And yes, this is something I work on myself, like trying to forgive and let go, you know, those are just things that are hard. And realize that too, like within myself, like I can do this and I need to be careful and cognizant of my wounds so that I'm not in a projective receiving or outward projected, you know, kind of wounding state. Meaning I'm not taking what other people say to me in a wounded way, like, oh, they didn't want to hang out with me, and vice versa. I'm not responding to people in a wounded way. Like, you know, they say, what are you doing? And I'm like, well, you know, you know, that kind of like, I'm pissed at when I, and so I don't want to give that out to anybody. So it's kind of this conscious awareness of my emotional state, my spiritual state. Shit, might as well put them all in there. Emotional, physical, everything. Like it's just an awareness of being. And it's just that, so for twin flames and vertex. Vertex is a term in astrology world. It just means it's a certain marker. It's like a secondary ascendant descendant line for those who kind of know a little bit of astrology. It's like a secondary one based on some math. And I can't remember if it's like your moon and sun. I forget what it's based on. But it's another angle in your birth chart, you know, two opposite points that are like heavily like charged. It's an attraction point. So and it either can be a pull for a teacher, for a romantic person, depending on what planets are probably involved between the sync, the two charts of your birth chart and the other person involved. And if their, say, their sun hits your vertex, you're just kind of attracted to them and how they are. Their energy is kind of like what you love being near. If another person's Venus is on your vertex, well, you might be really attracted to them. Their beauty is like, you know, very attractive to you. And again, these are zings that can happen. Typically, vertex people and twin flame people enter our lives when there's some impediment to really coming together. There's always like a, you know, one or both is already coupled. You have religious, you know, differences to where you're like, there's no way this could work. You live on different continents. I mean, we're talking about some real 3D like barriers to like being open and just being like, hey, I was attracted to you. Yeah, me too. Yeah, but you know, we've got issues. Let's kind of let's kind of heal and make sure that we have our healing done. Like, if only that discussion could happen. Instead, we don't talk about that. And you end up getting in this triggered vibe because of a lot of honesty isn't happening between the parties to be, you know. Yeah, that's basically it. To sum it all up, is that we're not in an authentic space. And we're not usually in a consciousness about our own wounds either. I mean, that's the thing. It's supposed to kind of knock us on our ass until we finally turn that wounding into like, okay, what am I not doing for my life? Okay, what am I not? To me, that's a lot of the medicine of the twin flame dance that happens. And I don't know if you guys have heard more. There's a lot of people who do probably a lot better job, more thorough job about it. But it's essentially, it's an extremely strong attraction to another party. And this is usually physical or sexual. And you're just playing out those dynamics. And all I can say to the people who are going through that is that, yes, it is intense. It's supposed to be intense to get your attention. And do whatever you can to make your focus about your life and your own like self-love. And look at your patterns of relationship. Like, do you look at people with rose-colored glasses? Are you not really looking at the reality of like where they're at like right now? And should you then also then kind of like give yourself some grace about maybe increasing love toward yourself? Like, am I really investing in my life? What am I doing to prioritize my hobbies, my spiritual life, anything, y'all? Travel. It's all about, you know, these zings happen when we are like not filling the cup. And for those who get those little interactions, it's a special wounding that you guys are healing. Okay. And it's deep and it's real. It's not in your mind. It is, but it's real. And I know that that's painful. And the idea is that hopefully the two people can be conscious of it and honest with each other about it, that eventually, if it's meant to be, there's a lot of healing too with source in this. This is a lot of trusting. Like, you think you want that one outcome. Like, I want this vertex person. I want this twin flame person to be my divine partner. And if it's full of wounding and it's not happening, and there's a lot of just hurt that's kind of getting churned and too much fixation and too much obsession, then it becomes like I said, the whole point is to turn within, look at your own healing. And then it's also this healing with the universe and the divine. Like, do you trust the divine to take you to a better place, to bring a better partner? When all you can do is think of that person, it's like you have to figure out how to stop it. And it takes a lot of work, a lot of like catching your mental brain to just get back in the now and what you're doing in your life. Because typically you're in separation. You're actually not with these people, but your mind and your emotions and maybe your dreams are, and that makes it difficult. And there's things that people can advise you in other podcasts that go more into that dynamic about like energetically protecting yourself. Like, you just got to keep yourself in the now, and you just got to pray for protection. That you're usually so, like I said, that energetic link can be a godsend, and then the worst thing. And those kind of links, you have to ask for protection from it so it doesn't interrupt your day. Because if they were to think about you, you might feel that energy and just like suddenly be thinking about them when you were like, oh, I thought I was healing. What's going on? You know, that kind of element. So just kind of know that that happens, and you just have to continuously keep refocusing to the now. And it takes time, and healing can happen. I just know that those dynamics are real with people. And I don't think we need to like hide it or be ashamed of it. Those are only there to show our own healing and what we can do. Because the thing is, that intense divine passion that you thought was from that person, it's not from that person. It's from within yourself. Like, that love you feel, all that love that we feel for our kids, that's us, y'all. That's within our own energy that we have that love. That's ours. I mean, yes, we're sharing it with someone else, but that is our power. It is not their power. It is our power. And we have to just kind of be like, this is mine. My energy is mine. It's not affected by other people. I do not have to have other people affecting my energy. I can have inner peace at any moment. I am in the now. Like, it's those exercises that get you out of that like cyclical thought process and hanging up and fixation with the other people, with the vertex person or twin flame. Now, hopefully, if people are aware, you find a little twin flame or vertex connection that's, you know, both of you guys are actually aware, you still might have some healing, but like, and if you're not coupled, that's great. Like, there's no impediments. You can become this divine partnership. And like, heavens rejoice. It's great. And the whole divine partnership is, again, just like this perfect union of the energy. And you actually usually have like soul work to do together, like spiritual work in terms of 3D here to contribute to the community so that people see your energy as like being this good example of like, oh, a healed relationship. And you typically kind of like step into those kind of that kind of work together. Like, you usually have like some sort of flow with spirituality in general that you're typically working somehow as like practitioners, usually in the spiritual field, is what I kind of want to throw out there. That's how at least I see it. And it's to give your medicine out of like how you can be harmonious and independent and non-attached. See, in the dynamic with the twin flame or vertex, you're like so attached to each other because you can't imagine not having this energy in your life on some level. And you have to let it go. You got to totally detach. You got to be like, this is not happening. This is not going to be meant to be. You got to literally be in that space to kind of drop that so that you can kind of focus on yourself. The whole partnership, like divine partnership idea, is that you are so happy in your own energy that you don't need another person. You're like, your inner energy is so healed. Like, that's where we want to be when it's our time to pass away. You know, we're in such a healed state. Like, we're happy with who we are. We trust how we show up in 3D. We have divine discernment. We know that we can manifest things. We know we can receive things from the divine. We're happy to give. We're happy to receive. We're happy to, you know, that kind of like beautiful healed state. And then the divine partner usually kind of shows up on those kind of like levels. And it's not just like 1 + 1 = 2. It's this exponential and energetic blessing that the partnership gives to those around them, because people are going to feel that energy. You will know it if you see certain people that have actually gotten to that healed spot. You're going to feel their energy if you're around them as a couple. You're going to feel the fact that there is this deep respect, deep freedom between this relationship, and not in the sense of having multiple partners, y'all. I'm talking about just freedom. You're not like Klingon relationship energy, which is part of this twin flame vertex thing, and which honestly shows up in the karmic element too with people, with between soulmates, to heal so that you can kind of like just be free in your own souls and be healed and be out there. So I hope I'm not talking in circles too much, but it's basically that's a large part of it. And then I do want to say that soulmates, you know, you can have like a huge thing. They could be great for years, like I said, and we can devolve. And it's just a matter of, I feel like, making sure you have a good therapist if you feel like your soulmate is kind of devolving and showing karmic patterns. There may have been just an agreement that, you know, even though they're loving people, your dynamic with them is this cyclical nature of like either low self-esteem in both ways, where like, you know, you kind of just continuously have these arguments and issues that are just like soul scraping for both of you. Now, I'm just going to leave it like that because, you know, giving examples of this, I feel like kind of opens up to what I kind of maybe like people in my life, what I have seen. And I don't feel like this is a platform where I want to like spill all people's junk and get doing all that. But like, you can kind of, you can, I think you, if you're in this, you'll know if it's cyclical karmic, that's like the other person, or maybe you haven't just woken up and seen it in a very long time, that you were codependent. There's usually a lot of codependency going on, a lot of like, you know, Klingon kind of energy. And then this like cyclical kind of like either based on low self-esteem. I mean, there's a whole bunch of wounds, guys. I mean, you know, where one person gets offended, but it's just a shitty thing. It's just a shitty, exhausting thing. And I can't tell you what it's going to look like. You gotta make that work happen. You gotta do that. You gotta do that review yourself. You know, here's the good news. You can see I'm so awkward at like explaining to you, because I think all I can do is think about people who I feel like are in karmic cycles. And I just don't want to feel like throwing that out there. So what I would say is, if you're feeling like in your heart, you're in kind of a karmic cycle with their partner, is to get a therapist, and they'll help you get some third party perspective over, you know, how are they taking things? You can talk to them about your partner's involvement and whatever cycle is kind of going on, and be like, try to get an idea of their wounding that's getting triggered. Oh yeah, their parents are really, you know, critical. They just don't want to be judged. And if they're judged at all, they get really defensive, and they're just not becoming aware of it, which makes this part karmic, because it's going to keep on going, because that person just fights realizing it and not participating in that karma anymore. And that's up to you. And when you get to the point where you're done with it, it just kind of is a personal thing that you're going to have to be just make your own judgment call on. Be, you know, and my heart hurts for you if you're in that spot. It's not fun. So yeah, I think I'm talking about these difficult relationships to the best part that I can kind of do right now. Like, this is not easy. But this is the way, or I feel like this is the main purpose for being alive. These relationships are mirrors to us of our own soul healing, where we're at, you know, and it really brings up a lot of times source issues, you know, with our source family from childhood, to be like, oh yeah, I didn't feel very acknowledged. So when my partner, you know, doesn't acknowledge my, you know, opinion or my emotions or something in a moment, I get really pissed, you know, that kind of stuff. That kind of like, oh, here, I'll talk about my own stuff there. As a child, sometimes I did feel like I wasn't, the emotional part of me had to kind of be quieted down. That they were very like level-headed people, intellectual people. And so like for me to express my emotions, it was kind of like, boy, you're being really expressive and out of control. So I kind of repressed a lot. And so when I kind of have an issue, I feel like I sometimes can come with overburst, because I'm finally free to like do that, right? But then like I want to make sure my partner hears me and has the appropriate response. And if they're not where I feel like is at this appropriate response, I get really livid. Like, so I'm like, I had to learn over time, hey, chill that out. That's like part of that dynamic that's popping in that I really don't need to. I you know, my partner's on my same team. They're not trying to like discredit me. Like, I just need to not have this background. I'm talking a lot with my hands today. I need to just like have this clear, like, erase board and not have any assumptions of anyone trying to hurt me or misjudge me or anything, and assume he's on my same team, so I can talk to him like I would like a coworker, which sounds kind of funny. I usually have to kind of tell myself, okay, I know I'm a little emotionally charged. Talk to my partner as if he were my coworker or my spouse or my kid. Like, I know it's the fifth time I've told them to do the dishes, but like, let me turn on my coworker perspective so that I can kind of chill out and talk to them like, okay, so we have a goal today. What's going on? You know, and try to like chill out. Like, I've got to keep working with them, right? Like, okay, I'm sorry to interrupt that one more time. Today's just been a day to record, but I did want to say, yes, that perspective of like seeing either my kids or my spouse or anybody really who's triggered me in that moment to kind of become like, okay, a coworker response, like I got to keep working with them. I got to be above board and be chill and figure out like in my nice meditative mediator voice, you know, how to deal with them and approach it from like no wounding and just being like, oh, did something happen? Did something crazy that I don't know about just happen? You weren't able to do whatever, you know, whatever the issue is. But like coming from a clean hearted space and one where it's not emotionally charged, I think a coworker thing gets me into the better vibe. So if that helps you, great. But I did want to say really clearly that if this karmic relationship, if things have devolved to a point where there's any shades of abuse, whether that be emotional or physical, that is a hell's no, y'all. And immediately get out of there. That's not something that you wait and watch the dynamics and try to get closure on. You get the fuck out. And I just want to be real, real firm about that. Okay. And, Yeah. So that just wanted to be, I just wanted to underscore that point. But for anyone who feels like they have endured a twin flame or vertex connection and that they're still healing from it, or, you know, yeah, that's basically how I'll say it, that I really hope this takes away shame, and I hope it shows you the purpose of it. Like, it's all about self-reflection. It's all about seeing that as your power, your passion, that we put it on someone else, but it's actually ours. It's ours to reclaim, especially when they don't reciprocate in a healed way to your love that you give. That, and take that back. It's yours. And what in your life can you do that was inspired by this spark over here from this other person? What can you bring in your own life to, like, fill your cup so that your divine oneness is healed? It's really never about the other person, y'all. It's just it's the 3D mirror of what in our soul we were missing. And then, do you have that bravery to stop that obsessive thought pattern and focus and grief? Because we think it's that person who has the power, and it's not. But when you cut that off and you start getting back into the now and doing those daily practices of not thinking, you know, having something else to refocus your energy on, hopefully something that gives you inspiration. Usually it's like a passion project that you should start so that you get really into it and stop thinking about, you know, the yahoo over there that just isn't aware of the shit and the intense connection. And that's their bad luck, you know, and maybe they'll find healing some other way. And God bless them. And just thank their higher soul for showing you the medicine that it came to deliver. And that's great. And maybe one day they'll see the medicine. But, you know, don't hold out. I would not put an expectation on that. Instead, put the expectation and hope in your own life, and that the divine will deliver your divine partner at the right time. And what you are going to have, what you're destined to have. You haven't missed any boat. Anything that's failed was meant to fail. Like, I feel like having that kind of feeling about these big things. Like, if it didn't work out, it wasn't meant to work out. And for anyone who's had long-term marriages where you feel like that kind of, like, religious shame about it not having made, you know, the lifetime promise, oath that you made, you're hoping they were going to make too. Listen, like, there's something about... just, I want to take that shame and, like, throw it into an internal fire for you so it's gone. Because there shouldn't. There's love is never lost or wasted. Like, it was yours, and this was your energy. You were kind of putting it for another person to experience, but what a beautiful thing. And the fact that you gave it was just, like, it's just such a sacred thing, and it's honorable. And like I said, it's just never wasted. I mean, Can we kind of, like, grieve the fact that the person didn't maybe appreciate the love that we did pour on them? Yes, but you are love. Just come back to, I am love. I'm not wasted love. I am love. And that's what you were living in those moments, even with an ungrateful partner at times. So I just kind of hope that this gives everybody some, I don't know, some relaxation in... and less shame about, like, our love experiences and attractions, and that it's normal, and then it's there because we've made agreements to kind of experience this, or and that it's just all meant to, like, make us also look at, like, our dogma behind what is relationships. What do I want from a divine partner? What do I need that, like, makes me happy? Like, it really makes you look at your life. These things, when we have these things with other people that we kind of get triggered by, it makes us look at our life when we have to get off of them and put our focus on us. It's like, oh, well, what does make me happy? And that becomes, that's a question that some people just don't even ask. So you are doing the work, and it's good spiritual work, and you can do it. Anyway, I hope this discussion brought some things to the table that you can think about, and I hope it gives you healing in some way. All right, y'all. Well, thank you for listening. Y'all take care.